This podcast is brought to you by Underwriters Laboratory, Workplace Health and Safety.
So the first title we're going to release is more informational for organizations, and it's really designed to help educate the entire population related to the new view of safety. So we get into looking at how the best-in-class organizations are utilizing these techniques to drive improvement, but ultimately set up the rest of the content that will be coming online at the end of the first quarter. This first module will be available for free, and we'll announce soon when you're able to access that content as well as where. Thank you.
This cool stuff's available at Underwriters Laboratory, workplacehealthandsafety.com. Think about it, you guys. They're great sponsors, and thank you for doing that. And now, let's get on with the podcast. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Pre-Accident Podcast. I'm your loving and quite capable and handy around the house host, Todd Conklin. That's what they call me anyway. If you call me that, I almost guarantee I will answer. That's how this works. So today is a great day in podcastdom because today we have an interview. This is kind of fun, actually. I'm really liking this. So Bob Edwards is doing some field interviewing. He's done a couple, actually. This first one I want to play for, I really like this one. He interviews Stephanie Swindle. She's from Southern Company. She's in generation and transmission, I think, and Georgia Power. And she's the human performance coordinator. And they talked about event learning, which is a huge topic. And if you haven't figured it out already, the two things you can do to immediately change your facility, I mean, just immediately, the lowest hanging of lowest hanging fruit is redefine your definition of reliability, of performance reliability or systems reliability, redefine your definition of safety. That makes it a huge difference. I mean, you have to start thinking, okay, safety is not the absence of accidents. Safety is the presence of capacity to fail gracefully, graceful extensibility. We'll talk about this more. There's a bunch of stuff I want to talk to you about. That new definition for safety, which pushes you away from the traditional zero approach, it's somewhat, I don't know why on earth this is controversial, but it's somewhat controversial, sort of sets the bar, kind of resets the organization. It's pushing the reset switch on the organization around how we manage and think about managing safety. And then the other thing you do is you change your investigations. You just do different investigations because what you look for is what you're going to find. That's the classic Hawthorne effect or Heisenberg principle, depending on which side of the fence you jump on. But quickly, we learn that when we do better investigations, we get better information. When we have better information, we make better decisions. When we make better decisions, we develop better corrective actions. When we have better corrective actions, we get safer. Boom. If I were to drop the mic, thunk, that would have been my mic drop moment. That's what Stephanie and Bob are going to talk about. And it's fun to hear them talk about it because they're practitioner to practitioner. This is real world stuff. So if you want this podcast to be an academic study of operational learning, probably not the right podcast for you today. There are others, however, that were pretty good at that. This one is just a discussion around learning. And really, it's a discussion around preparing to go in and preparing to learn with a learning team. So I'll hush up now, tell you other than that, my life is grand. I hope yours is as well. I'm not seeing enough of you, so start hanging around where I am. Maybe I'll see you at the HPRCT meeting. That would be cool. Or maybe I'll see you when Corey Pitzer and I do our workshop after ASSE in Atlanta, which I think is pretty cool. I mean, if you want to look more on that workshop, you can. I think it's going to be called Safety on the Edge. Just Google Corey Pitzer or SafeMap or Todd Conklin, one of those things, or send me an email. I can give you what I know. It's a full day discussion, pretty deep dive discussion on risk competency, and I think you'll like it. It's definitely something we need to do, and it's a chance to sort of get away from the ASSE hustle and bustle and to really kind of deep dive into this topic quietly and just see what we can learn. I think we're going to keep the numbers pretty small. That's what I heard, but I don't really know very much about all this, so I'm not the one to ask. So I'll shut up. I can talk about this crap later for sure. This, my friends, is today's podcast. Please welcome Stephanie Swindle and Bob Edwards, and they're going to talk to you about operational learning and human performance. Here it is, the podcast.
So I'm Stephanie Swindle. I'm the Human Performance Coordinator for Distribution in Georgia Power, and I've been on this journey for about 2.5 years now.
So when you say journey, why do you call it a journey?
Because it's so different from the way I was brought up. It was so different from all the principles and all the teachings that I had early on. I wish I had had this very early in my career.
Interesting. So you've had some changes in your own paradigms and how you think about things, your own approach, I guess I should say. Tell us about it. What sort of things were easy for you and what sort of things were hard for you on this human performance journey?
Like a lot of people, I think initially I thought, what is this? This is different. This is crazy. You know, just like a lot of people, when we talked about an event happened, we overreacted. And we wanted to make sure that we took care of it and we moved on. And with this, we're really getting a lot deeper and getting a lot more information about what happened, why did they do what they were doing, and really getting that deeper story and really hearing the employee's perspective. And I don't know that I always did that before.
Right. So you use the, you call it event learning?
Yes.
Right. So how do you actually do that? So something happens and you say what? I mean, how does that begin?
So we have a situation and someone says, hey, I think this is a great opportunity for an event learning. I say, well, if it's information rich, yes, we really want to dig into that. And I joke that I ask two questions, and those two questions are where you want me and what time, because I don't want any prior information before I get there, because I want to hear the story for the first time from those involved.
So that's interesting to me. So you don't want to know the kind of, you don't want the down low on it? You don't want the skinny on it before you get there?
No, I used to do a lot of root cause analysis, and I would study so much before I got into that conversation, and I'd come in there prepared. I've read a bunch of books. And so I was ready for the conversation because in my mind, I'd probably solved what had happened.
Right.
But now I actually tell managers, don't give me anything. Tell me if it's an operational incident or if it's safety related. Other than that, just tell me where to be.
Very cool. So you actually go in, the first time you really learn about it is with the team. That now how do you determine or do you determine who you want on that event learning team?
So I work with the managers or the supervisors and say, these are the type of people that we need on the team. So we need somebody with a fresh set of eyes. And first and foremost, we need that person who is closest to the event. We want them in the room. And we also want to make sure that they have a peer in the room so that that person can talk about what the story looks like. And it actually helps make that conversation easier because they feel like they have a buddy in there.
That's smart. So are these big teams, small teams? What does it look like?
We try to limit it to 5 to 7 people, but we want to make sure we get the right people in the room. I've been involved in some where we would have a question. I said, well, is that person here? Well, let's bring them in here. Let's get their perspective. It's more important to get the right people in the room than to try to limit the number. I want to make sure we're getting all the information.
Cool. So if your goal is to learn, you got to have the people there that you can learn from. Is that
yes.
What you're saying, right? So if it's a question about some other department or whatever, if that person's not in there, then let's go get them and let's learn from them.
Mm-hmm. And we've done several times where we've had a session. I'm like, well, before we have another session, we want to make sure that person's in here. Because we start talking about them and we start making assumptions about their world. I'm like, wait a minute. We don't know.
Right.
Let's make sure we get them in the room. And I can't tell you how many times we've done an event learning and someone in the room will say, I didn't know that.
Right.
They've worked together for 20 years, and they didn't really understand each other's perspective.
It's really interesting that you just said that, because I was just at a site last week, and one of the guys there talking about learning teams, he said he actually kind of makes a note of how many times people say, well, I didn't know that. So here they are. They work together. They've been around this kind of stuff for a long time in a lot of cases, and yet they're actually learning from each other. So it's not just you learning. They actually learn from each other as well.
They do. And then they actually take it back to their world. And next time they have a situation, well, I have so-and-so over here that I can call. I didn't know this, but did you know that they can't do this? Or did you know that this is how they handle this? And so all of a sudden, they're educating their group when they bring it back to their...
Interesting. So everybody's getting a little smarter.
Yes.
Sometimes, you know how you say you learn something new every day? It sounds like Stephanie's learning something new every day as she's doing this. Cool. So when you think... So you've been doing this for about how many years?
2.5.
2.5 years. You think you're going to quit soon, or are you going to keep doing it? Or you think, I mean, is this like a path you're on that you think is going to keep growing, or have you pretty much exhausted the approach, or what are you thinking?
We're just at the beginning. I mean, I think for who I am now, it is part of my world. I take it home. I take it to work. It's who I am. And if I can share that passion with somebody else, I think it's going to make all of us better.
So how do you take it home?
So it was funny. I'll tell you this story. My daughter was downstairs playing with my son, playing Minecraft. And so I called downstairs, hey, lunch is ready. And then about that time, my daughter comes upstairs, and she is just beside herself. And I'm going, what is going on? And she said, I forgot to save Minecraft. And for any of you that know, Minecraft is the world.
Oh, my word.
It's virtual Legos, but it's a big deal. So they had lost 2 hours worth of critical work in their mind. And about that time, my husband started booming over my ear. I can't believe you forgot to save Minecraft again. And I said, what are you talking about? You know, put on my HP hat, say, Saturday morning. And I said, this is the first time? Not the first time this has happened. This happens all the time. Yes, this is constantly happening. We're always talking about this. And so my husband said, well, I'm just going to scream louder. That will make sure that she will remember. And so I said, well, we're going to do an event learning. I said, Summer, let's go downstairs. And so we had about a 10-minute conversation. I had an event learning with my daughter. And we ended up talking about how my husband always makes sure that you turn off the electronics. And these are the important things. And so she was more concerned about turning off the Xbox than she was about saving it. So she actually developed her own little sheet of paper of reminders, and she changed how she changed it. And here's the beauty of it. Well, it hasn't happened since for her or for my son or for anybody else on Night Wind Trace.
Because they're out there sharing it with everybody.
She's telling everybody about this is how you need to do the learnings associated with this.
So what did your husband learn out of the deal?
Well, it's been interesting at home as well, because there was a time last week when he said, hey, punishing her is not going to happen. We really need to understand what she's thinking. I thought, wow, he's really getting this as well.
Yeah, it's interesting because, as you know, I have a bunch of kids. And my wife asked me recently, can you apply any of this HOP or HP, as you guys call it, stuff at the house with the kids? And, you know, even like the shifting the question from why to how. And so an event happened just, it was about 2 weeks ago. My son Kelson comes in and he's crying, or he's fussing because Caden, my 5-year-old, had choked him. And so I started to say, well, why did he choke you? Because I figured maybe Kelson had been picking on him or whatever. But instead I said, well, how did he choke you? And so Kelson comes around behind me and showed me the move that he made on him, and I showed him a little simple breakaway technique to get away from him, and Kelson was like, oh, okay, thanks, Dad, and out he goes. So I think I just got him to understand better what he can do, and why did he do it? Well, because he's Caden. I mean, Caden's 5 years old, now he's 6, actually, and he's Caden. But how he did it actually gave us a better conversation. He learned a breakaway technique so that maybe Caden can't get him next time. So this applies. It's interesting because, Todd, you know, you told me back when we first started doing this that when you go down this path and it starts to make sense, you can't go back. So, Stephanie, you sound like you're in that place now, too. Could you go back to your thinking before you learned all this stuff?
Oh, there's not even a chance for that. Because once you go down this path and you see the better way, and I will tell you, I was passionate about it when I first heard Todd talking about this. I went home and read a bunch of books, and I got engrossed in it and actually became my full-time job. So I loved it. I will tell you today, I'm twice as passionate about it, because in these event learning teams, what we're seeing is the difference that it makes for the employees. The employees are coming out more empowered, feeling like they're part of the process. And we've had a couple situations where we've had an event and the employees are asking for an event learning.
Right.
Because they feel like there's some value in it.
So did you not get people asking before, will you come investigate me?
No, that never happened. And the other interesting thing is sometimes when you do the investigation, they are out the door.
Yeah.
You know, nothing. Well, I've done a couple of event learnings. I'm like, okay, we're done for the day. And then I look around and everyone's still talking. They haven't left the room. And then they start continuing to talk even after that because they feel comfortable actually having the conversations.
Yeah, so it really changes the conversation. Moving away from, like, Sydney Decker's podcast. We just listened to it today in training, right? Instead of the employee being a problem to be fixed, they become a solution to be harnessed, and they're really helping us. And we realize the value of that. So that's cool. So let's say you were talking to someone who's thinking about this, thinking about going into this, or trying to change their organization. What advice would you give them?
Well, one is you got to realize it's not going to happen overnight. And so you have to have a lot of patience. And it's really going to be about telling those stories. And just start practicing it every day because you're not going to be perfect. You're going to make some mistakes. And there's so many things that I did early on. I'm like, oh, I wish I would have done that a little different. And it's okay. We're human. We're going to make mistakes. But it's all about that process and just taking those moments day by day and just trying to make a difference.
Cool. So you're glad you're on this journey?
Oh, I wouldn't be anywhere else.
Yeah, nice, nice, good. So any last thoughts, anything else you can think of that might help encourage people that, because there's a lot of companies that are, well, there's a lot of companies on this journey that are doing it. Some have been doing it for a while, some pretty new at it, some are just thinking about it. So I like the fact that you're encouraging them, be patient, it doesn't change overnight. Anything else you can think of or that might help encourage people?
Well, the other thing is to really get the leadership on board, because the employees, they love it. I mean, when they hear about it, oh, I wish we'd had this for years. But for a lot of the leaders, this is, goes against a lot of their thought processes, and that's okay. We have to acknowledge that. But when they start seeing the benefits of it, I think that's what's going to be the difference for them.
Yeah, Todd and I had some arguments when he first introduced his stuff to me, because I was a safety leader at my site, and I thought I knew the way, right? And It was really eye-opening for me. Matter of fact, one of our guys at my site said, Bob, you're not going to do well with this. Right? That's what he told me, because I had to really rethink a lot of my sort of philosophy around this kind of stuff.
What'd you think? Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Stephanie. That was a really good job. What'd you think? I'm curious what you're thinking about all this stuff, because it's pretty interesting to me that we've sort of had to re-engage something that at my level, in my world, seems pretty basic, but we've lost the ability to sort of go out to the people who do the work and use them as a fundamental tool to do problem identification, which is a huge, 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 huge important thing. And then problem or solution identification. I'm not ever very certain when we do investigations if we ever get the problem right. I mean, we know the consequence, but we don't often know the context. And if we don't know the problem, then it's really hard to create the solution. And using event learnings or learning teams or whatever these are going to be called in your place, and if you're not doing them, for goodness sake, start doing them. It really helps us redefine, re-engage, and actively use workers in problem identification, which makes us smarter, which makes then solutions kind of write themselves, and then it's all just pretty much, pretty good from there on out. The stories are amazing. I heard Jeff White tell a story. He's also at Southern Company. Just a couple of weeks ago, that was so enlightening to me, how a learning team turned around what would have probably been a terminable offense, turned it around and actually ended up not terminating the employee, but actually creating a system that was much more resilient and actually did the job much better than they'd ever done it before. And that's kind of where we are. Can't thank Bob enough for doing this. This was really good. Stephanie, you sounded like $1 million, but that accent, oh, that's just amazing. It's like sweet southern syrup being poured out over some pancakes. That's what it sounded like to me. I hope you had a good time. There's plenty more podcasts where this came from, and I hope you learned something good today, because that was really an important part of the reason why we do this podcast. Event learning is everything, and we'll talk more about this. We're not done with this conversation by a long shot. Until then, learn something new every single day. Got that? Have as much fun as you can possibly squeeze into any one day. In fact, have a little more fun than you can squeeze into one day. And for goodness sakes, be safe.